before we turn to Jeremiah 36 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm just curious. Has anybody ever heard of this character's name, Marcion? Anyone at all? Well, I've entitled Marcion, the slicer and dicer of Scripture. And hopefully in the next 45 minutes or so, I'll be able to show you why he's earned that dubious honor. According to the historians, again, based on what historical source that you read, some place Marcion's birth as early as 80 A.D., and some as late as 110 A.D., but everybody kind of agrees the fact that he died in 157 A.D. Well, with that in mind, turn first to Jeremiah chapter 36, and then find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 36, very interesting story here in Jeremiah 36. And then find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 36, I invite your attention to verses 20 to 26. And notice this little historical snapshot that is found. And they went in to the king. Jeremiah is now the prophet, and he writes a scroll. He dictates it to his stenographer, whose name was Baruch. Jeremiah would simply utter the word of God. Baruch, his secretary, would begin to record it on a parchment, possibly a piece of animal skin. And what happens is this skin is taken and is brought before the king of Judah at that time. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, okay, three or four pages, if you will, Jehudi cut it with a penknife. And he cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. They didn't even rent their garments, neither the king nor his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But the king would not hear them. But the king commanded Jerumael, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But Jehovah hid them. Get the picture. This is the word of God. God speaks to Jeremiah. Jeremiah dictates the very word of God. This particular book that you're now reading, this book of Jeremiah. And Baruch reads it. And somehow that scroll works its way to the king. And then this man, Jehudi, he begins to read. And he doesn't like what he hears. And what he's hearing is the fact that God is going to judge Jerusalem and Judah for her sins by sending Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian hordes upon the city. And he just doesn't like it. And after reading three or four pages, his stomach gets nauseated, and he takes his little Boy Scout penknife, and he begins to lacerate the scriptures, and he takes this shredded copy of God's word, and he flings it into the fire. And the Bible says the king didn't blush, the king didn't bat an eye, and all the princes and all the counselors and all the king's yes men just stood there with their pompous arrogancy as they watched the word of God burn. But apparently, those people mentioned in verses 25, this little delegation, they were pleading with the king not to handle the word of God in such a way. Well, according to verses 26, the king gets so irate that he wants the stenographer, the secretary, and the prophet to be round up and, in essence, cast into prison. But God does a fast one on the king. Jehovah hides Jeremiah. With that in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice what the Apostle Paul must write in the first four verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, underline, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. As mentioned once before, each one of our lessons on the heretics would have an appropriate opening scripture passage or passages to correspond with the lesson. Well, beloved, these two texts today fit very well the profile of Marcion, the slicer and dicer of scripture. Let me introduce you to the heretic first, before we delve into what he taught. Okay? History tells us, again, based on which particular historian that you read, he was born either between 80 and 110 A.D. in the city of Sinope in Pontus of Asia Minor on the southern shore of what is called today the Black Sea. Marcion's parents were very wealthy. Marcion himself earned a considerable amount of income by being a ship owner. His father was also a local bishop, according to church history. According to what historical source you read, Marcion's father was eventually forced to excommunicate his own son Marcion due to a sexual moment of infidelity. However, when you read another historical source, this source claims that Marcion led a life of chastity and very strict asceticism. By asceticism, I mean normally a vegetarian diet, denying himself marriage, denying himself conjugal relationship with a woman in marriage, that form of asceticism. So it all depends which source you actually read. One historian says that Marcion was greatly influenced by the Gnostic teacher Cerdo. On or about 140 AD, Marcion leaves Sinope in northern Turkey and he goes to the city of Rome. And according to the church father Irenaeus, who was a contemporary, states that Marcion flourishes under the care of the bishop of Rome. According to Tertullian, the North African Latin church father, who was a contemporary, Marcion donated a sum of money worth, in today's inflated rate, of $7,000 to the church at Rome. Remember, his family was wealthy, and Marcion was a ship owner, so he was involved extensively in trade, sending commodities across the then-known Roman Empire. This man had lots of money. And so he goes to Rome. Well, I found out through reading the historical records, when Marcion joins the church, he has some very bizarre beliefs that I'll actually share with you here within a few moments. So hang on. Well, he gets together with some of the Roman pastors there at the Roman churches, and he begins to ask these off-the-wall questions. And history tells us that many of the Roman elders and the bishops, they didn't like being around Marcion, and some of them just ignored him, or they were unable to give an answer to some of his questions. Well, Marcion continues and continues, and finally in 144 AD, a hearing takes place amongst all the clergy of the Christian churches in Rome. And the hearing ends in a harsh rejection of Marcion's views. The church at Rome excommunicates him, and listen to this. History tells us that the church reimbursed him every dime that he gave to the church. Well, when they showed him the back door, Marcion leaves and becomes a schismatic. What does that mean? He forms his own church called the Marianite churches. One historical source states that Tertullian, the North African Latin church father, writes in 207 AD that Marcion later in life professed penance. He comes to the realization that he made great mistakes, and he accepts as a condition for his reinstatement into the church, he was required to go back to every individual whom he led astray. That was his penance. The bishops told him, if you want reinstatement back in the church as an Orthodox Christian, you've got to go back to every disciple that you have hoodwinked and make it right. Well, guess what happened in 157 AD? The Grim Reaper caught up with Marcion, and he was never able to fulfill his penance. Irenaeus, a contemporary church father, relates that St. Polycarp was a disciple of St. John, the gospel writer, and St. John was closely associated with Jesus. So get in your mind, Jesus, St. John, Polycarp. That's a good direct line. Irenaeus relates that St. Polycarp met Marcion in Rome. And Marcion looks at St. Polycarp and says, hey, do you recognize me? History states that Irenaeus said this to him, I recognize thee as the firstborn of Satan. This meeting happened around 154 AD, by which time Marcion had displayed a great and successful church activity. Saint Justin Martyr, who was a contemporary, in his first apology, written around 150 AD, describes Marcion's heresy as spreading everywhere. Marcion's teachings went from Asia to Rome to Syria to Spain and infiltrated the churches of North Africa. Saint Justin says this, with the help of the devil, Marcion has in every country contributed to blasphemy and the refusal to acknowledge the creator of all the world as God. And one church historian said this, Marcion's movement was so popular and was spreading so rapid that if things just took their normal course without any divine intervention or the church responding as she was forced to do, what we know of as Orthodox Christianity could have been greatly polluted as early as the second century. So maybe you're on the edge of your seat saying, well, what did this guy teach? Well, get ready. Here it comes. Number one. Marcion wanted Christianity to be untrampled and undefiled by any association with Judaism. Christianity was the new covenant, pure and simple. He viewed the entire Old Testament as a scandal and a stumbling block to the refined and intellectual Gentiles for its cruelty and crudeness. Thus my title, The Slicer and Dicer of Scripture. Marcion takes Genesis to Malachi and throws it right in the dumpster. But it gets worse. He views the Old Testament God as a demiurge, but not the supreme God, which is revealed in the New Testament. Marcion was hung up what is called dualism. And there are dualists even to this day. What is a dualist? A dualist is someone who comes to the Bible and they see the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And they see this God of the Old Testament to be totally different than the one that is revealed by Jesus in the New Testament. Marcion calls the God that is revealed in the New Testament the supreme God. And he calls the God of the Old Testament a demiurge. The Old Testament God, as far as Marcion was concerned, was rigidly just. He was an inferior God of pure justice, who was the creator God of the Jews, given to fits of anger and vengeful killing. Listen, church, you're going to find people today who are espousing the same view. All you have to do is listen to National Geographic, the History Fantasy Channel, and the Learning Channel, especially around the holidays. And when they make these presentations of what Christianity is and the lost books of the Bible and Jesus marrying Mary Magdalene and the so-called Da Vinci Code and the Gospel according to Thomas and the Gospel according to Judas, they come across with this idea that the God of the Old Testament is markedly different than the God that is revealed in the New. Marcionic tendencies are still with us today. According to Marcion, the Old Testament God was fickle, ignorant, despotic, a warmonger, and nothing but a vengeful person with a bat in his hand, squashing people to death. And you're going to hear people who still carry that argument today. Marcion taught that the God of the New Testament was a good, loving God, the supreme God of all goodness, who sent Jesus as his messenger. Secondly, Marcion has some strange views of Jesus as well. Number one, according to Marcion, the Jewish Messiah foretold in the Old Testament prophets was not Christ. Now, let's see how smart you are. Okay? Because I'm going to ask a question. Christ, according to Marcion, Christ was God manifest, but not God incarnate. What doctrine is that? What teaching? What heresy? Docetism. The fact that Jesus Christ was not in a real flesh and bone body. Not only did Marcion have these weird views of the scriptures, Marcion was one who taught that Jesus was not real in a flesh and bone body. He was a mirage. So he had docetistic views as well. Listen to this, Tertullian, the North African church father, Latin church father, mockingly writes this in one of his books about Marcion. Matter of fact, these early church fathers, the ones that I'm naming, they wrote volumes against this guy. And that's why we know about him, because their works have survived. Tertullian mockingly states of Marcion's Jesus, suddenly a son, suddenly sent, suddenly Christ. Reminds me of that salad my wife would make in the summer called suddenly salad. You mix all the ingredients and bango, there it is. Well, Marcion's view of Jesus was, Jesus just appears. Boof. Boof. Marcion saw no prophetic announcements whatsoever pointing to Christ's coming. He just simply appears on the spot in the first century. Oof. Now, listen very carefully. Marcion liked to peg the Old Testament against the New Testament. And you're going to find people who do this. So I want everyone's undivided attention, because you're going to meet these people. Let me give you some examples. Marcion's writings. He says this, in Genesis 3:9, when Adam and Eve fall, the God of the Old Testament comes in the garden and has to ask Adam, where are you? As if God's dumb. And then Marcion takes that verse and he bumps it against Luke chapter 5, 22 that says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, why do you reason in your hearts? Marcion, possibly these were the questions he tried to give those Roman elders who eventually got so sick and tired of having to hear him in his jibber-jabber that some just simply walked out of the church or they were unable to give him any kind of an answer. Marcion says, well, in Genesis chapter 3, the Old Testament God goes in the garden and he's so stupid and dumb, he has to ask Adam where he's at. But the Jesus you find in the New Testament, he was able to read the thoughts of his adversaries. So they're going to be two different gods. Here's another one. In Exodus 21:24, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Then he quotes Luke 6:29, where Jesus says, if someone smacks you on the cheek, you give him the other. He says, that's funny. This Old Testament God, he says, if someone, you know, smacks out your eye, well, then you pluck his eye out. If this guy chops off this hand, you chop off his hand. But the Jesus of the New Testament says, if someone smacks you on the cheek, you just simply turn the other one. So Marcion was saying, two different gods. Here's another one. Remember in 2 Kings 1, 9 and 10, Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Remember the prophet standing on top of his home? And the Gentile king sends up these entourages. The king wants you right now. They showed no respect. And Elisha said, well, if I'm God's prophet, let fire come down. Woof! 50, burn alive. Then the king sends up another 50. And they arrogantly said, get down, the king wants you right now. No respect for the God, for the prophet. And the prophet says, well, if God be God, and if I'm this prophet, let fire. Oof, another 50 dead. Well, Marcion takes that verse, and he goes to Luke 9, where the two sons of thunder get upset because a certain town didn't want Jesus in. And John and James says, call down fire like Elijah did. And burn them. And Jesus says, you don't know what kind of spirit you're talking about. Marcion says, see, the God of the Old Testament, meanie genie, one-eye cyclops, and here's Jesus, kind, loving, meek, and mild. You get the picture where Marcion's going? And there are people today who will use the same technique on you. Here's one for you. Leviticus 15, 19 and 25. In the Old Testament, if a woman had an issue of blood, she was to be unclean, and she was not to touch anything holy. But did not a woman with an issue of blood touch Jesus' hem of his garment and was healed? And so Marcion reasons once again. Old Testament God, New Testament God. Nasty, mean, fickle, loving, sweet, tender, mild. Are you getting the picture? Here's another one. Isaiah 42 and 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another. How do you handle this in John 17, 5? And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Marcion reasoned. The God of the Old Testament is not going to share his glory. But here, Jesus is asking the Father to restore that glory he had with the Father. Inconsistency. So what was Marcion's conclusion? You take the whole Old Testament and you put it in a dumpster. It's useless, worthless. Here's another one. You might like this one. Joshua 10. And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now get this. Now watch how slick Marcion was. In the Old Testament, Joshua prays to God, and the sun stops, or the earth stops, whatever, but God gave them extra light to do their battle. Marcion comes back with Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, be ye angry,
yet not committing sin, let not the sun go down upon your anger.
Marcion says, see, the God of the Old Testament, meanie genie, one-eye cyclops, the Jesus of the New Testament, loving, meek, and mild. We have to get rid of the Old Testament. Even within the Old Testament, Marcion found contradictions. God commanded that no work should be done on the Sabbath. Yet he told the Israelites to go and carry the ark around Jericho 7 times on the Sabbath. Marcion says no graven images were to be made, yet Moses was directed to fashion a bronze serpent. The deity revealed in the Old Testament could not have been omniscient, otherwise he would not have asked Adam, "Where are you?" But it gets worse. You say, it gets worse? Listen to this. Marcion created his own New Testament canon. What is a canon? The word canon comes from a word that means measuring rod. It means a standard. It means that which all other things are to be measured. Well, listen to this. Not only did Marcion reject the entire Old Testament, these were the only books that he allowed in his canon, in his Bible. The Gospel according to Luke, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Ephesians, which he renames Laodicea, Colossians, Philemon, Philippians. He cans Matthew, Mark, John. He throws into the garbage the book of Hebrews, book of James, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Revelation. He cans all of those. When you come to the book of Galatians, what you know as Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 through Galatians 4, 6, he removes. But it gets worse. Due to his docetism, Luke's gospel is devoid. Are you listening? Luke's gospel is devoid of the first four chapters. He removes the birth narrative of John the Baptist, and he removes the birth narrative of Jesus. Because Jesus simply arrives on the spot, presto changeo, boof. Fully adult. Since he was the docetist, God cannot take on human flesh, because human flesh is evil. He takes the Gospel of Luke, first four chapters, and he puts white out. It gets worse. Using Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, where Paul says there's only one gospel, Marcion concludes, out of the four Gospels, only one is legitimate. And guess who Marcion's hero was? The Apostle Paul. And since Luke was associated with Paul, Marcion gets rid of Matthew, Mark, John, accepts Luke. And because of his hatred of the Old Testament Jewish God, everything found in Paul's writings that was remotely Jewish or points back to the Jewish scriptures was erased. He went so far as to say that the original 12 apostles misunderstood the teachings of Christ and holding him to be the Messiah of the Jewish God, ended up falsifying all of Jesus' words from Jesus' original intention. At this time in history, listen carefully, at this time in history, you did not have the churches and congregating people coming to church with one of these. Some churches may have had a copy of maybe one of the letters of the New Testament. Okay? You had people making copies from the originals. But people in the first, second, third centuries did not have a book like this with the Old and New Testament attached. Well, Marcion comes along with his crazy ideas, and he says, I have taken all the books, and I have made a decision, what is the Bible? And I gave you those list of books. Everything else, as far as Marcion was concerned, was in the rubbish heap. False letters, false copies, and forgeries were quickly coming into play at this time. Marcion's corrupted New Testament canon aided and quickened the congregations across the Roman Empire to finally come to terms on what scriptures of the New Testament were to be canonical. And I want to draw an application here, my friends. It is a good thing sometimes for Christians to get into controversy. It is a good thing for someone, an unbeliever, to come alongside and challenge what you believe. In the early 1980s, my wife and I were excommunicated from a church because we took the plunge and we believed in the doctrines of grace. The 5 points of Calvinism, whatever term you want to use. The fact that God has elected a people unto salvation. That pastor and that church could not stomach that, and we were excommunicated, and I was accused of believing the damnable doctrine of total depravity. It forced my wife and I to go back into our Bibles and re-examine what we believe and why. And there are times and seasons that the church needs Marcions to come on the scene. Up until this time frame, the churches across the Roman Empire, some of them had no copies of the scriptures. Nothing. They may have had one letter of a New Testament writing. Or hardly nothing. Everything was by word of mouth. Marcion comes on the scene saying the Old Testament is bogus. The God of the Old Testament is bogus. In my list of New Testament books, that's it. And then of his weird views of Christ. And his weird views of the Old and New Testament, how they are related together. The churches in the Roman Empire were forced to come to terms. And he forces the churches back then to sit down and say, okay guys, how do we judge? Which of these Gospels is true? Why four Gospels? Why not 10? Why not 900? So Marcion was good. And there are times and seasons, my dear friend, you do need people to come alongside and challenge you why or what you believe. It forces you back in your Bible. Quickly, here are some other views. Marcion taught that Jesus came to overcome the dominion of the evil creator. Baptism was done in order to remove sins recently committed. Women were allowed to baptize other women. You must be single or widowed or divorced to be baptized. Denying Christ came in the flesh. Also, no salvation or resurrection of the flesh, only a spirit. Marcion taught that there was no resurrection of the body, just of the spirit. Well, beloved, next week, we're going to take Marcion's views, and then we're going to go to an open Bible, and then we're going to shine the light of the New Testament on his teachings. But history tells us that Marcion gained a large following, and there was a season, there was a time when Orthodox Christianity and Marcion's beliefs nearly tipped the scales at that time. Finally, one church historian says that the Apostles' Creed, remember the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God Almighty, the Creator of Heaven. Many believe that the Apostles' Creed was a fast and expedient remedy to address the Marcionic heresy. That Christians, these elders were going around bolstering their churches in response to Marcion. So my friends, the next time someone challenges what you believe, do not run and hide. Don't put your tail between your legs.
you open your Bible, and you need to be able to tell people what you believe, and you're responsible to tell that person why you believe what you believe. That's for all Christians, male, female, tall, short, fat, skinny, and everything in between. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. And Father, we know that there are many people today who actually live and teach and breathe what Marcion taught back in that mid-second century. There are those today who even challenge whether or not the God of the Old Testament even exists. There are those who try to peg the God of the Old with the God of the New. And Father, help us as people to be able to answer and give a reason why we believe what we believe and then why. And may we realize that controversy is not always bad. The controversy makes us go home and examine the faith that we profess. It helps us to be strengthened. And so may your people be strengthened by your grace. In Christ's name, amen.